I'm Bridey Cruz, and this is Politics Unpacked. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place where all can prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. Let's unpack week four of the legislative session. This week in Olympia marked the cutoff for bills that aren't budget-related. If they did not get out of committee, they are dead for this session. Bills that missed the cutoff include a controversial rent control measure that would have capped yearly rent increases at 15%, among other tenant protections. It failed to advance out of the Senate Housing Committee after a single Democratic lawmaker, Senator Annette Cleveland, said she was undecided. It's important to note that in Olympia, bills can always be resurrected, and Democrats have already suggested that they're interested in trying to revive this one if there is a clear path of support in the Senate. Two bills, one in the House and one in the Senate, that provided protections for signature gatherers also failed to advance out of committee. The bills stalled despite one having support from Secretary of State Steve Hobbs. Oh, and in case you're curious, those six initiatives before the legislature, they are not subject to the cutoff calendar, meaning they could still get hearings this session. Although it's not clear whether Democrats plan to do that. They said this week that they're awaiting more information about the impacts of those initiatives before deciding how to proceed.
We need more information about these in order to decide our next steps. We're still awaiting fiscal notes on most of the initiatives. We're still trying to unpack what we think the legal impact of each of these six initiatives would be, unlike a piece of legislation introduced by a member of the House or the Senate, which is drafted by our nonpartisan staff. This was drafted, not by our nonpartisan staff, so there's a little bit more ambiguity over what some of the consequences might be. So, the truth is we've been spending a lot of time talking internally about what do we think these initiatives do? What kind of latitude does the legislature have to consider alternatives? If we were to pursue an alternative, what could that cover? And those are just questions that we're grappling with.
A few bills that caught our attention this week include Senate Bill 6205, which would require public schools in Washington to teach kids about the history and the meaning of the Pledge of Allegiance. The bill was crafted by Eatonville Middle School students who showed up to testify.
Students disrespect the pledge because they do not know what they're pledging for. They do not know the meaning and history of the Pledge of Allegiance.
There is a problem we face every day in schools: reciting the Pledge of Allegiance without the appreciation it deserves.
Why do we have a law that requires us to say something that most people don't comprehend? If students are required to recite the Pledge of Allegiance, they should have a proper education in regards to its meaning.
Without teaching the meaning of our daily ritual known as the Pledge of Allegiance, it is insane to expect kids to automatically understand it. And how can you expect students to respect and embrace something they don't understand?
The teacher of those students, Mr. Alex Hansen, said watching that testimony was a proud moment.
All along the way, they have learned all the nuances of what it takes to do this. It's not easy. It takes work and commitment, perseverance. And so they had to practice. And at first they thought they, like most kids, they could write a speech, turn it in, it gets graded, and you move on. But I said, no, this is real. You're not going to convince adults if you go in there unprepared with a speech that isn't well written and well argued, and also well delivered.
And Mr. Hansen will make an appearance this coming Monday on Undivided. House Bill 2309 advanced out of committee this week. It would fund up to 45 credits of community or technical college tuition for Washington high school students, regardless of their family's income.
We talk a lot on this campus about the workforce needs of the state. We talk a lot about creating an education system that goes beyond high school and how important that is for students in Washington. We talk a lot about this idea of making sure that 70% of the students in our state earn a meaningful credential. But when it comes to the policy that we enact as a body, we tend, in the higher education space, we have for many years been making small incremental changes on the system as we have it, and thinking that that will in some way yield up into a significant change in the results that we're seeing in the state. And as enrollments are dropping, as fewer and fewer students are seeing the value of higher education, this bill offers a chance to take a step in a different direction and to take a meaningful step towards a new vision, a vision where every student in our state, not just those students whose parents can afford to buy them a car so they can go to Running Start in high school, but every student can have a chance at a kindergarten through 14 education, where every student has a real chance of getting that set, that credential, and being part of that 70%, where every student can understand that they belong in college.
For more on what happened in Olympia this week, let's check in with the Center Square. Brett Davis, welcome back.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, we're gearing up like almost halfway through the session.
I know, can you believe it?
Yeah, well, I'm just counting down the days. So short session, a lot going on. So there have been a lot of bills related to how the state deals with sex offenders, some that want to deal with them more harshly, some that want to give them options, you know, like this one that would help them get off of lifetime supervision. So this bill has passed out of committee?
Right. House Bill 2178, a substitute version of the bill, passed out of executive session in the House Community Safety, Justice and Reentry Committee. What a mouthful. So basically, this version, it switches authority to decide if a sex offender may have his or her state supervision ended from the Department of Corrections to something called the Indeterminate Sentence Review Board, which I admit I had never even heard of before. So,
yeah, which is also a mouthful. So basically, this is saying, you know, you've got a sex offender who's done their time in prison. But of course, as we know, sex offenders have a lot of community supervision requirements moving forward. So this would give them a path toward not having to do that for the rest of their lives.
Correct.
Gotcha. So another bill that's been very controversial is an effort to raise the property tax increase lid to 3%. Republicans are vehemently opposed to it, and Representative Chris Corey is trying to throw out a different option that he's hoping maybe they bite on.
Right, that would be a House Bill 2436. So many numbers. That would basically reduce the state sales tax by 0.5% and let local governments raise revenues through a voter-approved 0.5% sales tax increase. The idea behind it basically is to make it, you know, net neutral for taxpayers.
Yeah, and so then you would also...
I don't
also,
know how far that's going to get either, given the Democratic majority, but we'll see.
Yeah, they very much want these things, but that would allow a jurisdiction that needs... Because you've had some jurisdictions specifically ask for an increase in the property tax lid, like King County. So this would say, okay, King County, well, you can do it and raise money on your own, and we don't have to change. We don't have to lift the lid.
It's not like a blanket tax on everyone.
Yeah. Okay. One more thing I want to talk about, because there's been some real transparency issues leading up to this session around the Climate Commitment Act, around, you know, whether it truly is to blame for the increase in gas prices. And Puget Sound Energy last year had gone to the State Utilities and Transportation Commission and said, hey, we have to raise our rates because of the Climate Commitment Act. And we want to list that as a line item. And essentially, the Attorney General's office, the commission said, that might be confusing.
The Washington Utilities and Transportation Commission said, you know, that would be, and these are their actual words, too confusing.
Too confusing for people to understand. So there's a bill that would actually mandate that kind of transparency.
Right. We require customer charges to be listed on a utility billing statement if the charges are a result of implementing the Climate Commitment Act. Apparently doing some research on this. Apparently the bills now, they include some of them. I haven't looked at mine that closely, so maybe go back and do that. They contain a credit that's linked to the CCA on bills. I guess that was okay, but not the other way around.
So. Yeah, and we've seen that. And actually, if you look at your bill, it is true. A lot of people will see, you know, we can understand a line item that gives us a credit because of the Climate Commitment Act. So this seems like it's just parody. You know, if you're also getting hit with higher charges because of the CCA, then yeah, then ratepayers maybe ought to deserve to know that too. So this is a Republican
bill. Off a vibe of them thinking people are dumb and won't be able to read, read their bills.
Yes, people can read. Bill payers can read. So, all right, Brett Davis, that's week four in the books. We'll see you next week to recap week five.
Okay, thank you so much.
I'm Brandi Cruz, and as we reach the halfway point of the legislative session, this is week four of Politics Unpacked. Have a great weekend. Politics Unpacked is brought to you by our friends at Future 42, making Washington a place where all can prosper. Sign up for their newsletter at future42.org. To support Undivided and our content like this, you can subscribe for just $5 a month by signing up at undividedpod.com.